All right, shall we go straight into the interview, guys? I've got Peter Scandera and Dave Mabey here with me. Say hello.
Hello,
Adam.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys? You're ready for... are you the support act for Retro Groove? We've just talked to Bill Forrest about Retro Groove.
Yeah, we're sharing the gig with him.
Do you like being called a support act?
whatever.
So, yeah, we found out what Retro Groove do. And I've talked to you guys before about your music. In fact, let's step back. And we just played the song, Call Me the Breeze. And so you two put together some covers of classics. Is that what we would call it?
Not really. It's a 21 track album.
Yeah.
And there are some a mixture of original songs and some, if I can call them, cover songs. Although our cover songs, like Call Me the Breeze, is nowhere near anything that you would have heard any other band interpreting it.
I mean, right, so it is an interpretation.
It's an interpretation, yeah. Because it's originally by J.J. Cale. He did sort of an electric thing. Then Lynyrd Skynyrd did a rock thing. And we're bringing in acoustic instruments, banjo, slide guitar, harp. And it's a completely different genre, so to say.
But, yeah.
New grass, perhaps?
Yeah. New grass. Yeah. And you got some really nice videos made of these.
Yeah.
And they went up on YouTube, I think sometime last year. And that particular song, Call Me the Breeze, actually sort of took off. You've had 300,000 views of it. And I've read the comments and people raving about it. They love the interpretation.
Yeah.
They want more.
Yeah.
There is more. But you made, how many videos did you make?
There are 21 tracks on the album, and there eventually will be 21 videos that represent those tracks. But then there's other aspects as well, other videos that we've made as well. The making of, for example.
Okay, this is quite serious.
It's quite serious,
quite a project.
Yeah, that's right.
a lot of behind the scenes activities.
Yeah, I mean, because you've done the music, you've arranged the sound and got the different instruments, and as you were saying to me off the air before we started, no guitar in that track.
Yeah.
Several other things, mandolin, banjo. What else was there?
Slide guitar.
Percussion.
Percussion, drums, bass and drums and vocals.
Did you say harp?
Heaps of harmonica. Yeah.
Right, and a harp.
Harp is short form for blues harp. Yeah, it's not the Celtic.
Different thing. Okay, I'm going to have to watch the video again to see.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention that we played that track just before we did the weather.
Yeah.
And now, should we talk about what's happening? You're going to be playing on Sunday, 3 o'clock at Harbourview.
That's right.
These are all, as Bill explained before. Most of the band, we're old mates and. There's about, I think, five of us who actually come from the Mudsharks. So long connections to here. And with Peter and I, we're also playing with Fred Lambert.
Yeah.
And normally we'd have our bass player, Ashley Knox, great player. But he was unavailable in advance to do this gig. So we've got another old mate, Tony Crichton, TC. And TC used to tour with us as part of Midge.
Right, okay.
So lots of connections. And these connections go back, I mean, Neil and I. Neil Reynolds, the drummer out of Retro Groove, I first met Neil, I think it was the end of 1970. This is just prior to Dragon forming.
Mm. And aren't they doing their 50th anniversary tour
they
or something next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Is he in that? Was he always the drummer or he was the founding drummer?
He was the founding drummer, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's. I asked him the other day. He said, no, I'm not part of the tour. But, they've got a great lineup in here. That's the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's.
So lots of connections. And so for us, Neil approached me and said, look, you know, we want to do something in Raglan. You know, what can we do? Where can we do it? And, this is what's happening.
Yeah, and as he said to me in the interview, like, as an eight-piece band, there's not necessarily a lot of stages they can fit on, so...
No, that's correct. I mean, they're a huge sound. I saw them live at the Jazz Festival, and they're incredible.
Yeah, it's a really incredible band, quite outstanding.
And what sort of music are you guys going to be playing? Are you fitting the Retro Groove kind of vibe, or you're doing your own thing?
We're doing our own thing, and you know, our thing is, how would you describe it, Peter? Roots.
Well, first of all, let me say the retro groove vibe. I personally, and I shouldn't say this on air, but I think that name sounds a little bit outdated and a bit just, yeah, old. Anyway, the retro groove really is a really funky jazz blues, very tight band.
Yeah,
I don't think that their name represents really the vibrancy that they produce, and so we're going to join them. So it's going to at some stage grow into a 10-piece band.
Oh, awesome.
Where we do sort of funky bluesy grooves. And Dave and I will do a mixture of what we do on the album, but also other stuff. But it's basically rootsy stuff, and it's going to be a combination of just purely acoustic, and then later on going on into more harder electric grooves.
And I was talking to Bill about, you know, him playing with, who's he played with for 35 years, the other horn player in the band?
Grant Mason.
So they've played together for so long, they don't really need to rehearse much or anything like that. Are you guys like that as well? Have you ever stopped playing together?
No. No, we've been playing now for 40 years.
I guess they're pausing while their brains calculate the amount of years.
Yeah. I think it's actually it's probably more.
Yeah, no, not quite more. Since 83.
There we go.
Yeah. So, but do you need to rehearse?
Well, you see, rehearsing is always good. I mean, I see videos of the Rolling Stones going on tour and rehearsing Painted Black or Honky Tonk Woman.
Right, so if it's good enough for them, then.
If it's good enough for the Stones after, I don't know, 60 years still to rehearse their songs, it's good enough for us.
Fine-tuning the arrangements, we call it.
Yeah. And so it's completely just flows when you're on the stage.
And as it should. You know, it should, you know, your instrument, whether it's a voice or, you know, something you're holding in your hands or in drumming, it should be an extension of your creativity.
Yeah. Having said all of this, for this particular gig, Tony Crichton is coming over from Cutty Cutty, is it? And we will not have had, you know, rehearsal, and with Fred too, he's pretty much, you know, jumping off his lawnmower and
he's never
joining
from a drum kit.
That's right. Yeah. So, but you know, we keep our ears open, and especially when we're joining Retro Groove, those are songs that we've never played with them before, but we know the structures, and we watch a lot what's happening and listen.
And do you, and now that you, like the songs that we were talking about before that you've arranged, like Call Me the Breeze, when you play that now, do you stick exactly to what we've seen on the YouTube, or do you?
Well, first of all, we can't recreate that.
Oh, because there's several instruments.
Especially with two people. You know. Or even with four people, we cannot create that. They're like four different banjo tracks, three different harp tracks, and
Dave
plays slide guitar and then bass, and, you know, we can't jump within a song from one instrument to the other. So it's a live arrangement is quite different to that.
We haven't yet figured that one out.
Yeah,
we have to figure that one out.
Cloning.
Yeah.
Cloning is the answer to that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be like a 10-piece band or something.
It would be, at least. Yeah.
Yeah,
but that particular song, yeah.
I guess what I was trying to ask was, do you still stick close to the form of it, or do you allow yourself room to jam and let the night flow?
Oh, the form is different as a 2-piece or a 4-piece is completely different to the recorded version.
Yeah.
And there's specific hooks and so that have to be in the song, that because that's the identity of the song.
Yeah.
And then there's always room for improvisation and just seeing what happens at the moment.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Have you got... We played one song. Did you have another one that you wanted to play?
Sure.
Shall we... Do you know what it is? And Dave can talk about it while you get the computer going.
Dave, which one are you choosing? Let's do Turn Me Loose.
Turn Me Loose.
So this one here is written in the early 70s by a guy called Ray Pennington, and I first heard Willie Nelson do it. And it really talks about a type of music we call Western Swing. And Western Swing is what followed on from the early big band era, and when they reduced the size of the big orchestras, like Count Basie. I mean, they were 40 pieces, I mean. So then you using some traditional instruments, for example, like fiddles, more often than not twin fiddles, but a lap steel, singers, and drums and bass, and guitars, and also electric mandolins. Plus they had other instruments with them. So when I first heard this, there's a liner in it, and the liner goes along and uses the word druthers, if I had my druthers, which literally means if I had my other musical influences right here with me, then I would be playing this type of music. So this is Turn Me Loose and Let Me Swing. And it's...
Say it, Dave.
Yeah.
Say it.
So Turn Me Loose and Let Me Swing. Here it is.
I've watched different music come and go. I have played little rock and roll. I've sung blues and bluegrass, and I've tried most everything. If I had my druthers, then I'd rather have some swing. Give me a steel guitar, two or three fiddles, and a raglan rhythm section that can swing. Big dance hall and a lot of happy people, and then turn me loose and let me sing. Van Morrison moves through, turns me on, like Bob Wills and the Rose of San Antonio. Well, they both played great music, they just called them different names, but if you put it all together, it would still come out the same. Give me a steel guitar, two or three fiddles, and some horn men that can play most anything. I'd like a big dance hall and a lot of happy people, and then turn me loose and let me sing.
Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and that was Peter Scandera and Dave Mabey. Remind me the name of the track again.
Turn Me Loose and Let Me Swing.
And that was you singing, Dave, but and I just said, how come it doesn't sound like you?
Don't know.
It's not a criticism. It's just like sometimes people do and sometimes they don't. And
I guess the answer really
like
is...
Like your speaking voice, right?
Well, yeah, it's more... This particular genre... is Western Swing. I mean, that's that, you know, I produce this track because I just love Western Swing. It's probably, out of our album, it's probably the one track that it's sort of furthest left of these sort of roots, or even though, would that be right, Peter?
Yeah.
But they're drawing on blues. Most of what we're doing in the album is drawing on blues roots, but this one is clearly drawing on that sort of interchange between country and jazz.
I've been listening to this podcast called The History of Rock and 500 Songs, and this guy is basically on this 10-year journey of doing a podcast every week, and it's starting way back, and I've learned about Western Swing from that, and yeah. Just that, I mean, we're talking to the pre-war era, I think, and there's a lot of stuff that came together
yeah.
that fed into rock and roll.
Very much.
And it was kind of fascinating, and also interesting how many musicians were getting ripped off in those days, especially the black musicians in the US. They were just serially ripped off. Anyway, I have a question about we've already talked about you might need a 10 to replicate the way you've done these songs in the studio, which you're probably a lot of fun doing. On stage, it's impossible without about 10 people. So are there some songs that actually you're like, we're just not going to do this? Or can you just bring them to stage because you want to and you're going to do it how you like it?
Well, it's a project in the making, so to say. At this stage, we're just sort of slowly working our way into it with the given players that we have at the time. I can't really answer that question fully, because there will be probably some songs that we cannot reproduce because we just don't have the players to do that on the day.
And sometimes we don't have the budget.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen Fleetwood Mac reproducing their stuff live, and they've got, like, there's a whole other band up there with them.
That's correct.
Yeah. So that's what it takes. And they've got the money.
Yeah.
Give someone a big enough budget and you can hire whoever you want. But, you know, we're trying to keep it local. Even though it's, you know, on poster and the Facebook page for the show, it's just Peter Scandura and Dave Mabey. As I said earlier, we have enlisted, our musical muscle, our rhythm section of Fred Limit, Fred Moe, and also Tony Crichton. So for us, we're able to take some of what we did on the album and work with a four-piece band and recreate to the best of our abilities on the night, you know, some of these songs.
See, to recreate that product, that what you're just hearing now, really would take a dedicated band.
Yeah.
We're dedicated to the product, and really without looking at the watch or, you know, opening up their hand for being paid.
It would take,
you know, realistically speaking, probably 6 months of rehearsing, because they're so tightly, if you listen to the arrangements, like just what you heard now, they're just so tightly knit, such a tightly woven fabric that you'd have to do some serious study to reproduce it that way.
So how does it all come together? Like, you guys are doing this in the studio. Do you come in knowing I'm going to have this instrument, and this instrument, and they're going to interact in this way? Or is it a lot of experimentation once you're in the studio to see what works?
Every song is different. Most of the time, though, it builds. Like, you put down an idea, and then you sit back and listen to it and think, oh, maybe now a slide guitar would be nice. Or then you put it down and you think, nah, that didn't work.
Yeah,
and you try something else. And then you put down a banjo. Oh, yeah, and maybe we'll put a harmony to that banjo. And maybe then just that little corner we'll put, you know, pedal steel in, or lap steel, or whatever. So it's
or a guitar and a harp line. Yeah. You know, we'll come up with a little line there.
It's very seldom, probably never, I would think, that we have the entire picture already, but we just start somewhere, and then it just builds. And it's quite a fascinating and exciting process, because most of the time we don't know where we're going to end up. And it's really neat if it ends up in a good place.
And that's the creative process, isn't it?
Yeah,
very much.
Yeah,
yeah,
very much. And you work with the materials at hand. In this case, you know, doing live, you're working with the depth and the length of experience of the players that you're working with. And, you know, you're asking them in the moment to step up.
Yeah.
And they do.
And you guys have...
These are very, very good players.
But you've, interestingly too, you've both had experience working with, like, young people, like teenagers who are just starting out on their musical journey, and they might have written a song and they've got to do something for NCEA, or they want to write a song. And so how do you introduce them to this? Like, they did it on the guitar in their bedroom. How do you introduce them to say, well, we want to bring some drums and bass and another guitar and backing vocals? Like, how does that work when they're so young?
Well, you introduce them by practically doing it together with them.
Right.
Saying, hey, here, you've got this line. Why don't we now just try to either harmonize it or put a counter melody contrapoint to it, or, you know, maybe adding this bass line, or maybe having a different bass line that would change the feel from
a
funk feel to a reggae feel or to a more folk feel.
And do you kind of see the light going on? They're like, oh, this is...
In the world of recording, in terms of using it as a teaching component, is incredible. It's totally open-ended. It's like you go through this little doorway and you're working with the students, irrespective of the age, and all of a sudden they find themselves, they realize they're in this huge room where anything is possible. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and then when anything's possible, making a decision can be difficult.
Yeah.
Then it's, what's that old expression, Peter? Then
it can
be.
By analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got too many choices, that can slow you down at times, but it's fun too.
Yeah. You'd hope it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of us who don't write music, I mean, we still have access to other forms of creativity. Mm. And so I hope that everyone has that kind of creative experience at some point in their lives.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of aspect is, you know, you can have going into your garden and pulling weeds, or going to the kitchen and cooking a meal, or, you know, those are all, I feel that's similar aspects of creativity and self-expression.
Yeah, and now's a good time to mention that Javier, who's one of our DJs, Javier Mead, or Miade,
Mead,
pronouncing it the way, the many options, he did the poster for Retro Groove. It's sitting on I'm looking at it right now, not that anyone can see, behind Dave there, and that's another local talent, and he gets his creativity from there. So.
Yeah, he when I first asked him to do it, he said, what are the influences? I said, oh, 60s and 70s. So he launched it into it with this idea of, I think he said, 1969, Woodstock, Summer of Love.
Psychedelic.
Right.
And if you look at the poster, I've been just come from breakfast across the road from the pub, and you can see the poster on the wall because it really sticks out. The colours and the swirl of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're drawn to it, which is, you know, the essence of poster art.
Yeah, like that time, but also slightly, it's got a little bit of a twist to it.
It does.
Maybe a Mexican twist? I don't know. Oh, I'm guessing now.
I think it's a psychedelic twist I can see.
Psychedelic, yeah. We're all now staring deeply into the poster, slightly mesmerized by it. We should stop. It's not going to make a very interesting interview if we keep doing this.
Yeah.
Have you got another one you want to play, Dave?
Or
Peter? Peter's in control of the music.
We'll play here a song, an old gospel song. It's called Jesus on the Main Line.
Yeah.
And this is one that I've produced. I'm very fond of gospel music. I grew up a certain amount of my youth in the depth of Georgia, in southern states, and we lived right behind a church, a gospel church, and so I listened to this music quite a bit. But this is my slant. This is Jesus on the Main Line.
him what you want, I seen it. If you're feeling it down and out, tell him what you want. I said, if you're feeling down and out, tell him what you want. You can't call him up and tell him what you want. And you wanna get well, tell him what you want, I see now. If you're sick and you wanna get well, tell him what you want. I said if you're sick and you wanna get well, tell him what you want. You can call him up and tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want, I see now. Jesus on that main line, tell him what you want.
Hey, got the morning show with Aaron. That was Jesus on the Main Line with by Peter Scandera and Dave Mabey. And guys, we just got another minute before we wrap up. Give us the big picture. What's happening again on Sunday, 3 o'clock at the Harbourview?
3 o'clock at the Harbourview Hotel, the garden bar at the back. We are having a musical soiree. And hopefully the weather will be playing ball with us. However, it is undercover in the garden bar stage, as well as the whatever you call that thing in there, the atrium or something.
Yeah, we'll call it, let's call it that.
Looking forward to that. And we're going to be, Peter and I, with Freddie Limit and also Tony Crichton. We'll be kicking things off 3 o'clock for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be the huge Retro Groove band for the next two sets, and then Peter and I will get up with finale and do a, I think we're joining them for a Delbert McClinton song and an old Louis Jordan song.
And can people get tickets on the door, or are they buying online?
They can actually buy online through the Facebook page. I've got some tickets myself. There's some tickets down the pub.
Oh, so you can go down, walk down to the pub this afternoon and pick up some. Yeah, okay.
I've just dropped off another 30 tickets there. It's getting very close to a cut-off point.
Oh, when there won't be any left?
That's correct.
Okay, all right, folks. Move quickly. That's the instruction. And we've been talking to Dave Mabey and Peter Scandera. Thanks for coming in, guys. Always good to have
Thank
a chat
you.
With you guys. And
you
appreciate that.
We'll talk to you again, no doubt. And I've turned everything down, including myself. We're going to have a little break, and we're going to be catching up with Shona from the old school straight after this.